The Lord gave us two symbols by which we are to understand our salvation. The first is baptism, which brings us in and publicly proclaims our faith in Christ. The second is the Lord's table, which we gather this morning to participate in. These are the emblems that the Lord has given to us by which we are to know Him, to remember what He has done for us. And just a few words of instruction. Many churches have different traditions for doing this and for serving. Come on in, gentlemen. It's okay. I'll spit on you only a little bit. This. Come on, Pete. Now I forgot where I was.
A lot of churches have different traditions.
Yes. Thank you. And so it's always important for the sake of new members, for the sake of guests, just to give you some instructions. First, if you have publicly professed faith in Christ through baptism, you are welcome to join us. You do not have to be a member of our church. If you are here and you're a believer and you've been baptized, we welcome you to participate this morning. Though the scriptures in 1 Corinthians 11 are using the idea of waiting on one another as something in their culture where everyone was to be served together and to wait at the meal and not run ahead with the rich and so on, and the poor and the slaves who were joining later then were left out, had nothing, and missed the Lord's table. But in honor of that, we do ask that you wait until everyone is served, and then we will partake of it together. One of the things that has been important for us as a church for many, many years now is the movement from the tendency historically of treating the Lord's table as this sort of individualistic, isolated, me and God kind of moment to thinking about it corporately. We are God's people together. We are doing this together. We sing, we pray, we hear God's word, we see and observe baptism, and we participate in the Lord's table as God's people together. It's a community event. Often in the past, it has also been turned into this sort of solemn, almost guilt-ridden moment of intense confession of all my sins, which hopefully you've already confessed, in order to be able to take the elements in a worthy manner. Brothers and sisters, that is not what Paul intended. The worthy manner is as in recognizing one another, recognizing the poor among you, the recognizing that we are all God's people gathered together this morning. And so the unworthy manner would be to not recognize one another. And therefore we ask that as you partake in the Lord's table, that you look around, you listen to the testimonies, you think about what God is doing, you rejoice that at the foot of the cross, you see all of God's people and gathered here this morning. Now, if you come and you have unconfessed sin and the Lord has laid them on, certainly deal with them. But our worthiness to partake of these elements ultimately rests only with Jesus Christ. And only with Him. I am unworthy. I am a sinner who has now been saved by grace. And I come and I remember what He has done for me, a sinner saved by grace. And we can partake of this only because of His mercy. And we partake of this in order to focus our attention on what Christ has done for us. And so as the elements are being served, I'm going to ask for you to give testimonies about what God has done for you, particularly looking back over this last ministry year and thinking about what God has done in your salvation. And that can be a sentence. It can be a short paragraph. But remember, in this, you're not giving testimony about you. You are testifying about the Christ, glorifying Him. Tad will have microphones because we are streaming. Rather than it being this distant voice, Tad will walk over with a microphone, and once you have that, then I'll acknowledge you. So we ask that you should be prepared to share in that way. And we may not be able to take everyone who wishes to. And I will say that ladies and men are welcome to give testimony as well. In doing this, the Lord has given us a memorial supper. He has given this so that we might remember Him. These elements are not the real body and blood of Jesus Christ. They represent, they remind us. The real body of Jesus Christ is glorified in heaven. But there is a sense in which the body and life of Christ is here. You know where it is? It's in you. You are the body of Christ. And because you were indwelt by the Holy Spirit, those of you who are believers, then you have the life of God flowing in your soul. And you are alive. And so, yes, there is a sense in which there is the presence of Christ here in His body. Why? Because you are here. And because you are alive in Him. If you would like to follow along in your Bible, you can turn to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. Well, and of course, you know, sometimes, you know, digital is great until it's not. You know how that is? I got it. Thanks. Yeah. Mark chapter 14, verse 22. Tim's going to hand me paper. I don't know what to do with paper. Never. Yes, they never fail. All right. Mark chapter 14. One of the great things in the Lord's table is to remember that Christ not only died for us and He lives for us, but in this memorial sharing, we remember that Christ stood between the old and the new. And so He celebrated it, and as it is recorded for us in the Gospels, and He stood and celebrated it as a closing to the Passover, that feast that had been instituted for Israel, and in which was supposed to look forward to the coming Passover Lamb, who was the Lord Himself. And so at that evening, as they were sharing in the Passover meal, the Lord then interrupted the meal by giving them the new covenant communion, Lord's table, that we celebrate. I love to think of Him, of standing with one foot in the old as its fulfiller, and one foot in the new as its inaugurator. And here He is at the center of all that the Scriptures say. And then gives us this very simple memorial so that we will remember Him. Mark chapter 14, verse 22. As they were eating, that is, as they were eating the Passover supper, He took bread, and after a blessing, broke it, and gave it to them, and said, "Take, this is My body." Gentlemen. Father, thank You for the broken body for our sins that He, the Lord Jesus Christ, has taken upon Himself and borne our sins and our sorrows and our shame in His suffering. And may we rejoice and celebrate that He has done this for us. And may we, as we share together, both in our testimony and in the partaking of this bread, may we remember the Lord Jesus in His name, for His glory. Amen. You may serve. So, testimonies. What has the Lord done for you, particularly in your salvation? Sharing this morning, be willing to share with us. Now, you know that if you're quiet, I will call on people. Someone, raise your hand. Got to raise it high so I can see it. Someone? Stacy, wait for a microphone, please. Someone else so we can be prepared? Someone on this side? Yeah. Terry, would you be ready, brother? Thanks. Stacy?
I was just thinking about how many trials that I know everyone in this room has endured in the last year, and being so thankful that we're all still here and Christ has sustained us and He's given us the endurance to go forward. And I look at so many of you and I know every day's hard. And it's difficult, but the Lord is with you, and He never leaves us nor forsakes us. And I'm just very thankful for that.
Terry?
The Lord is good, and His mercy lasts forever. Our family has been through some trials this year, some vacationing in Syria. And He has led us through that with the greatest of grace. So we thank Him now. We thank Him for the past. We thank Him for our future in Him. For all these things. Amen.
Amen. Tim?
Yeah, just thinking back last year, I just want to publicly thank the Lord for His faithfulness. Some of which is leading my wife and I here to this community of believers and under this leadership. And, you know, God is good in spite of circumstance, in spite of ourselves. And so His faithfulness, that's what's ringing loud and true in my heart and in my head this morning.
Amen. Yes.
This year, almost every month we've had a friend or acquaintance or family member pass away. And to start off the song service with "Jesus Christ, My Living Hope," and then the very next song, "He Will Not Leave Me in the Grave," and to know for sure that because Christ is risen, we have a living hope. And so just praise him that he is our hope beyond this lifetime and on into eternity.
Amen. Someone else? All right, I'll ask our men to come. One of the things that the Lord has left us an example is that as God's people, we do not serve ourselves. And we have chosen as a public demonstration of that, even in this, not to serve ourselves. It's my privilege to serve those who have served you. And then for our chairman of our elders to serve me. This is not just something we do. Filled with rich meaning because Jesus came to serve, and so we serve one another. We love him who has first loved us. We celebrate him who has given himself for us. Remember what he has done for you. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many." Father, your righteousness, your holiness, and your glory demanded a price for our sins and sinning that we could not pay. For our life, our blood was corrupted even from conception. But Jesus, born of a virgin without sin, without sins and without sinning, poured out his lifeblood for us and paid the price as of a lamb slaughtered whose blood was shed, pure, precious, and blameless. Thank you. Amen. Other testimonies. What has the Lord done for you? To share with us, someone else? Yes. Someone in the center or over here? Let me just get you a mic ahead of time. Okay, Cindy. Cindy Velasquez, brother.
Yes, I'm just really thankful for the Lord's sustaining grace day by day through just all the trials of an old lady. But just so, so very thankful that through Jesus we have an advocate with the Father, that He's always available to us.
Yeah.
And always gives us grace.
Yeah. If I start talking, I think of all the thousands and thousands of miles that Mark and I traveled together to China and Mongolia and India. And the Lord's taken him home. We are so happy you are here. Yeah. Cindy.
Thankful for the opportunities God's given me in the last year to share share the gospel with family and some friends. And so that's what I'm thankful for.
Amen. Tim.
6 weeks ago, I was hobbling around. Today, I'm hobbling around, but for different reasons. And I'm grateful for the healing that I know is coming. For the for some reason, God has made this very difficult, beyond what the therapists can understand. But through that, I've had the opportunity to explain biblical counseling to the owner of the therapy center, and we got to talk about some spiritual things. And so God has been really gracious in those opportunities.
Amen. Amen. Leslie.
Just want to praise God along with our church body here. Even though it's a difficult trial for the Stephen Lee family, what we have been able to experience along with them and what we got to see in the testimony that they showed us in how they've been handling this trial, what a beautiful blessing it was to be in their flock family and to see what God's been doing in their family and the testimony that they've been, to be able to come alongside them, to serve them, to see this body of believers support them in the way that we were able to do, and to be part of God's work in this trial along with them. It's been a joy to see them respond in such a godly manner and to just be part of it. In 2018, when my sister was diagnosed with cancer and we were walking that path, to be able to have the blessing of receiving God's grace from her church body and this church body, and then to be on the other side of the coin now, to be part of the blessing. The Lord's work is just a beautiful thing.
Amen. Amen. Gentlemen. Yes, there was a price demanded that we could not pay. It was a pure life and yet we were not. And so Jesus came as a lamb, without spot and without blemish, and as represented in the blood and as in the cup, he poured out his life for you to pay the penalty so that you would be released from your sins, set free from your guilt, and you might stand before the Lord as a son and daughter, as his child. Remember Jesus. As part of being a church family together, when we remember what the Lord has done for us, the gospel says that we, by doing this, are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. And yes, there has not been formal preaching this morning as we think of it and as we are committed to. We have nevertheless proclaimed the gospel and proclaiming his death and sharing in this table. As God's people together, part of our life together is taking care of one another, is living in the world, is even having facilities like this, all of which can happen because of the faithful giving of our people. And we want to take just a few moments as we come to this part of our gathering this morning to share what the Lord has done and to present to you what the elders have approved, and in asking for your affirmation. Gentlemen, you can return to your seats. I'll turn over this part of our gathering to Pastor Tim Reck.
That's better. As was mentioned at the outset of our time together, we once a year have to have a, we're required by law to actually have a business meeting as a church together. And we take just a short time here, one time a year to make it formal, but not formal, right? It's embedded in the midst of a worship service. So, but with this, we'll call our meeting to order, if you will. And what this is going to consist of is Pastor Steve Vaughn, who is responsible for finance, is going to come up and give a look back at this past year. And that'll be followed by Keith Schaus, who leads our finance team. He'll come up and talk about the budget going forward and a budget for which we're asking for your affirmation. So, Steve?
First of all, I want to thank the finance team that consists of myself as pastor of stewardship. Tom Wiggershaus is the treasurer. Keith Schaus is head of the finance team. Barb Berger is the bookkeeper. Jim Hoyam is part of the team. Keith Moore is part of the team. And then this upcoming year, Peter Vaughn is joining the team. So we work with the elders through the year, but largely at the end of the year to kind of help make recommendations on the budget. And then, you know, the elders, obviously, we can go back and forth and decide if they want something. But we kind of do this through the year, too, with monthly reports. And we're thankful for I'm thankful for the finance team and the relationship with the elders, the opportunity for everybody to work together. I mean, the team is great. They're gifted. You know, those who are gifted work in this area, and they really have a heart for ministry. They have a heart for our people. Some have a heart for numbers. But nonetheless, I mean, it's a privilege to work with them and to work with the elders. And I appreciate the elders, too, because sometimes there's a lot of give and take. And even among the elders is what maybe the financial priorities are. And so I am thankful for that. And I'm also thankful for you guys and the giving. It's not a small thing to be a church our size and to have a budget like we have. And Russ, who talks to many pastors all over the world and certainly in the United States, can tell you and attest to that. So in my opinion, that comes from your, in this area, your spiritual maturity by way of giving. You see the importance of giving, giving to the Lord. And we're just thankful to the Lord to do that. And then the Lord blesses us, has blessed us. It's a blessing to have the giving that you guys are given. And I just want you to know that myself, the finance team, the elders, take our responsibility for stewardship very, very seriously. And we know that we'll stand before the Lord and that we are accountable to Him for doing this. But you are an important part of the process, because with you, there wouldn't be a budget. There wouldn't be ministry. We couldn't give money to the many places and the many ministries that we can. And I also want to say that we're always trying to get better at serving you as well. And I think you'll see some of that this upcoming year, some things we've put in the budget, some protocols and things that we're just really trying to just get it better. And so I want to thank you for that. Can you guys put up this slide? Thank you. Keep going. Oh my gosh, I can't read that. That's not helpful. Maybe I'll have Keith come up and read that too, because I can't read it. I didn't check it ahead of time. So, it's really the financial, I can see the financial review part. So if that's, and I can't see that either. So that's not helpful. Thank you. I have context, and that's probably part of the problem. Yep, can't read this much better. So faithful in giving, the general fund was $608,748. As far as giving to the benevolence fund, it was $7,640. Counseling had a giving to the counseling department of $5,682. Special offerings, $1,870. Okay. I lost my place. Project fund, $19,465 with a total giving of $643,406. Being careful in spending the general fund. So this is one of the areas that we will continue to work on. You as ministry leaders always give under budget. So we want to continue to work on improving that process, but we're thankful for our ministry leaders who are careful with their money. So the general fund expenses is $542,069 with a general fund balance of $66,679. Challenges going forward, as God has allowed substantial giving, pray for us that we consider the financial impact of continuing to be good stewards of our finances and material resources as the Lord blesses. And the Lord continues to bless the chapel through the generous giving of His people, which I already mentioned. Our ministry teams, again, are very diligent in their faithful managing of those resources. We were able to give most of the staff 3% raises this year. We continue to be able to meet the benevolent needs of our church members in need, as well as the needs that come up from other churches. The one last thing I will say about the giving. It's not all the giving. You don't always see it on paper, because a lot of the giving comes from the flock ministries in flock ministries. If there's a need in flock, flocks often give that. And so that's giving over and beyond the budget. So again, it points to me that it's just not paper, that you're just not worried about the budget, but you are a giving people and you freely give to the needs of others. And God will continue to bless us. If that is your attitude, you are giving to the Lord, and the Lord will continue to bless us, and we're just thankful for that. Keith?
Good morning. So as Pastor Steve said, we are very thankful and excited to tell you about our budget for this coming ministry year. Once again, we're thankful for God providing through the giving of his people. And similar to past years, we wanted to point out that we rely on love offerings for the Benevolent Fund. Next slide. So here is our budget for the current ministry year. You can see annually it's $597,000 or 0.7K, which equates to monthly general fund giving of $49.8K and weekly general fund giving of $11.5K. So just to give you some perspective, this past ministry year, general fund giving was $11.7K per week is what we ended up averaging. Next slide. So here's how that $597.7K annual budget breaks out. You can see here we have $4.5K budgeted in business, $162.4K in ministry, $79.9K in operations, and $350.9K in elders and staff. And once again, you can see here towards the bottom of the slide, the annual, monthly, and weekly breakouts. All right, so that's all we have for the budget. Do you guys have any questions or comments? Oh, go ahead.
Only because we got this question last year, not in your slides, but on Steve's, the giving to the counseling ministry does not come out of our budget and is not, and is mostly given from people outside of our church. So that $5,000 given to counseling came from people who were being counseled who made donations to the ministry. So that's not your giving at all. And somebody asked last year, so I thought I would just repeat that again.
Thank you, Tim. Anyone else? Pastor Tim, do you want to come up for the affirmation?
Okay, so that is what the budget going forward looks like. And again, if you do not have that white piece of paper, still time to pick one up and turn that in and sign it. It's very important. I wanted to say, just as one of the elders, the budget process really isn't that, has really never been that difficult. I mean, our finance team does a wonderful job. The ministries turn in their budgets, and almost always they're approved. They fit right into what we're trying to do as a church. And so it's really, you know, we have a little bit of give and take, but it's not too bad. But again, we've had another good year by the Lord's hand, and a budget met, and that budget covers so much. It covers what it takes to keep the lights on here, right? To have a staff, to take care of all the different ministry needs that we have, from women's ministry, men's ministry, counseling to an extent. Tim clarified that, but we have that, you know, facility here for that. We have all the things that go with this campus, and children's ministry as well, and the youth. So there's just so much going on here, and so much has been is provided through that budget. And it's not only here, though. We have a $600,000 budget, more or less. One-sixth of that, a little more than that, goes overseas. And that's significant. That's 17-18%. So know that we're not only doing ministry here, but we're doing ministry in our region, and we're doing ministry across the globe from places like Romania, Namibia, Kenya, Ethiopia, the Middle East, in a couple different places. So God has been able to use us, or is using us throughout the world. And as many of you were sharing during the Lord's table, testimonies, I have a few, and I could have said, but one that just really stands out is last March, when we presented a need here for the Baran tribe in Africa, a tribe you didn't know that well yet that we were introducing, and they had a need. There was starvation on the horizon, and then there was a flood. And I just want to say that was moving to me. I've seen a lot of times where we've given, but none like that one. That was amazing. Another almost $20,000 on top of a busy budget already. And I was really moved by that, just personally, and I know a lot of you have too. So the impact is big here. And as we sang today, who is like the Lord our God? Steadfast love, faithful, right? He's a great God. And we're proclaimers today. We're proclaimers just by this building being here that we gather in. We're proclaimers by meeting in our neighborhood flocks to that fact that our God is awesome. And there's none other like him. I was just reading in 1 Samuel, I think it was chapter 5. Indulge with me a minute. Terrible situation in Israel. War with the Philistines. The Philistines win. Things are falling apart. And the last thing they do is they take the Ark of God and they take it back home. And what do they do with it? They put it in their temple next to their God, little G God. And I think you know the story. Next morning, little G God is on his face. They tip him back up. Next day, little G God is now on his face, but broken. We live in a world where people and cultures put Christ on the shelf next to a lot of little g gods. And we're here to proclaim as Christians that is, don't even go there. There's no one like our God in power and strength and might and the ability to reach down and save sinners. Save sinners, as we've learned, to the uttermost. He is an awesome God. Let us go into this next year proclaiming again through our giving, through our labors, through our faithfulness, through our one anothering. Let's do that. Let's do that because it's worth it in the end. Because we're going to see that great God, the God that's like no one else. We're going to be standing looking at him face to face. What a day that'll be, right? This is temporary. We're just passing through here. But it's so important. God has things here for us to do and to grow and to transform. So praise God today. And with that, I'm going to pray. And then as we do that, I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. Again, turn in your ballot pass ballots into the aisle. That's even better. So I'm going to call the worship team up. Father, we are amazed by who you are. We're amazed by how great you are, a God of infinite wisdom, love, grace, might, God who knows all things. And Father, you know our condition, and at the right time you sent your Son into this world to save us. And for that, Father, we're forever grateful. Our praise today, as meaningful as it is, will not satisfy that, and it's something we'll do for eternity. Thank you for your faithfulness to this church, for moving in your people to give and to serve and to minister to one another. Father, may that continue. May you continue to transform us. May we be more like Jesus. May we be more like him in this world. So, Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for what you're doing here in our hearts. Thank you for what you're doing through us to those who we minister to here and across the world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.